Ashley Easter.
And I'm Charlie Grantham, and you're listening to Serendipity,
the podcast where we explore everyday magic all around us.
Welcome back to Serendipity. I am so excited for today's episode because we're going to be talking about intuitive eating. And Ashley actually posted about intuitive eating not too long ago. I think it was on your story, on Instagram. And I was like, oh my gosh, we should do an episode because you've talked about it some here and there. But I think it's a really important topic. And I think you would have a lot to say about it. So do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. No, I'm excited to talk about this. And I'm sure everybody listening to this already knows I'm not a dietitian. I am not a doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be talking about my personal experiences with intuitive eating and then what intuitive eating is. But I think the first time I heard about intuitive eating was in 2017. I was asked to come speak at a women's conference retreat type thing. I think it was called the Hot Healthy Habits Retreat. And I love the retreat so much because the brand doing it, they had previously been promoting a lot of dieting, and I think maybe diet supplements and those types of things. But they started doing research and finding out about what intuitive eating is. And I thought it was really bold and brave of them. They basically apologized to their entire audience, and they had thousands and thousands of followers, and said, we got it wrong about dieting, and we believe in intuitive eating now, and that dieting is ethical. And I thought, so few times have I seen that happen. And I think I was on a panel discussion, like I said, it was years ago, but that was the first time I was introduced to that concept. And they had a dietitian who came and spoke about intuitive eating. But intuitive eating is actually I think a trademarked term. There's some doctors, dietitians who came up with it. They have a whole book called Intuitive Eating. And maybe I can try to post some of that in the show notes. Intuitiveeating.org, I think, is the official website. So it's not just something that I came up with. It's not just two words slung together. It's actually like a whole system of how you approach food and how you look at your body and nutrition. So before we kind of talk about what intuitive eating is, let's talk about diets. I know for myself, I started dieting when I think it was like maybe 14 years old. And I know that first year, like over a summer, I think I lost, I want to say it was like a quarter of my body weight, something like that, which was a lot, especially for a 14-year-old child. Yeah. And that kind of set me on this path of using a lot of disordered eating habits. And because I don't want to trigger a lot of people, I won't go into all of the things that I did for that. But basically diets are, you know, you have the term diet, which could just mean whatever food you ingest. But when I'm talking about diets here, I'm talking about like restrictive diets where you're supposed to only eat certain types of foods, those types of things for the purpose of weight loss. Now, you know, there are some people who have certain types of diets because they have allergies or because they have beliefs about animals. They don't want to eat animals. But diets in what I'm talking about are ways of restricting food for the purpose of losing weight or maintaining a certain weight. But here's the thing. Diets are talked about everywhere. There's always a new fad diet going on from, you know, keto to Whole30 to, you know, whatever it is. But studies are showing that diets do not work, not in the long term. In fact, there's a study that shows that 95 to 97% of diets fail. And a lot of times when you're dieting to lose weight, you're using one of these restrictive dieting systems, you actually gain weight over the long term. because when your body fluctuates to a lower weight in an unhealthy way, it tends to want to snap back and then kind of overcompensate because it's afraid that it needs to store food so you don't starve. Yeah. And I'm just going to read this quote really quick here from Jennifer Rowland, MSW, LCSWC. So with 95 to 97 failure rate of diets, statistics hold true, even if you mask them with lifestyle changes, because a lot of times people call diets lifestyles versus diets. It's the same thing, no matter what you call it. To maintain weight loss over the long term, there is simply no substantial evidence to support our ability as clinicians to help someone lose weight and keep it off in the long term. Additionally, many diets are actually very dangerous. Even the keto diet that people are talking about, where you're doing a lot of restriction and fasting, there are people who are losing organs because they are accessing different systems in their body for processing their nutrients. And there are people who've lost organs from that. Additionally, most diets are tested on men's bodies versus women's bodies, and men and women's bodies are very different in the fact that women or those with female genitals, uterus having people, they go through a menstrual cycle and there's different hormones that are at play. And there's actually four different phases to your menstrual cycle. And in different phases, you need more carbs and nutrients than in other phases. And men's cycles, they do have a cycle, but it's a cycle that runs every 24 hours versus over 28 days. And so not only are statistics showing that most diets don't work for 95 to 97% of people, they're generally tested on men, but pushed on women. And there's just so many other things at play. In addition to that, even if you are maybe your body is not reacting really poorly to diet, a lot of times it can cause mental health concerns. So the restriction can lead to restrictive eating, eating disorders, disordered eating, and binge eating, those types of things, which are not healthy for your body in the long run. So there's actually a little bit of a difference between having an eating disorder and disordered eating, and they can overlap, but I wanted to talk about those really quickly. So disordered eating is practices of eating in unhealthy ways that tend to be markers in an eating disorder. An eating disorder is something that you'd actually get diagnosed by a doctor, but whether you have that diagnosis or not, you can have some unhealthy disordered eating habits. And some of those would include signs and symptoms not limited to frequent dieting, anxiety associated with specific foods or skipping meals, chronic weight fluctuation, rigid rituals and routines surrounding food and exercise, feeling of guilt and shame associated with eating, preoccupation with food, weight, body image that negatively impacts quality of life, feeling of loss of control around food, including compulsive eating habits, using exercise, food restriction, fasting, or purging to make up for bad foods that are consumed, bad foods in like quotation marks. And this is all from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So I didn't just pull this out of the hat. But you know, as we've talked about, you know, diets are so popular and common, and I really think that they are a tool of the patriarchy to keep women so focused on what they look like and restricting their bodies so they don't have enough energy and nutrients to be their full selves, but also that they're focusing on themselves, their weight, what they look like so much that they don't have time to address the bigger issues in the world that affect women, like pay inequality and patriarchy, all the different ways that women are oppressed. And, you know, men are affected by these things too, but there is a huge push for women to fit in a certain category and that you're less worthy if you have a certain type of weight. But even weight, it's such an interesting thing to talk about because a person can be extremely thin and very unhealthy. Yes. They can also be thin and very healthy. They can have a lot of quote unquote extra weight and be unhealthy, but they could also be healthy. All their lipids and their blood work could come back healthy. There's not just one body size that is healthy, even though we attribute it to that.
Yes.
We often even moralize body weight in that if somebody is in a larger body, that they are somehow lazy or morally inferior. When that simply is not the case, when we look at people's blood work, when we look at their actual lived reality. Yeah. So that's why I think in general, restrictive diets are unethical. I don't think that they take into account, generally speaking, women's bodies. I don't think that they take into account the individuality of bodies. And I think that really the restriction, binging extremes on either end is really unhealthy, not only to your body, but your mental health as well. So that's why I really don't believe in restrictive diets. Now I am vegan. I am gluten-free because I know that that helps my autoimmune disorder, but it doesn't have anything to do. I didn't make those choices for weight loss. And I didn't make those choices because I am restricting amounts of foods that I'm eating. So if you have a peanut allergy, I'm not saying, you know, you should throw that out the window, like, you know, pay attention to those types of things. And we'll kind of get into that with the intuitive eating. But, just to be clear, what I'm talking about is restrictive diets that don't have any real impact on, you know, an allergy or something like that, that you have.
Yeah. And I just want to say something else I've heard is, and I don't know where I've heard this, but I've heard that part of the reason dieting doesn't work is because you're restricting, and like most of the time you restrict. And then it's like, you hold back for so long and then you end up eating a bunch. Well, to me, that's almost like you're eating what you need to be eating. Like you're not getting enough calories. If you're like counting your calories so that you can get this exact amount and you're restricting it, but your body actually needs more than that. Like this isn't a dieting example, but it's kind of like an example. Kind of like the other day I, had like, I love to eat snacks. Like I just am eating like all day. And this day was kind of like crazier than normal. And so I only got one snack that day. And by the time I got home, like I had only eaten breakfast, a snack and lunch. And now it's like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I ate like five snacks. Cause I'm like, that's what I would have eaten in the whole day. And so that's what another reason I've heard that it doesn't work is cause you're restricting, but like your body is going to get it somehow. Like it's going to get what it needs in terms of calories. I mean, I'm not speaking to like, if you just, I mean, I don't want to like label any food bad, but like, for me, if I ate like a whole thing of donuts, I probably didn't need that. You know what I mean? Right, like, like, cause I would eat so many donuts. Oh my gosh. As a kid, cause I would eat like six donuts as a 5-year-old. And I'm like, but I would not eat anything else. My mom was just telling me that today, like how I would eat like, chicken nuggets, French fries, donuts, and maybe a grilled cheese. And like, that's all I would eat until I was like in high school. But anyway, that is just another thing that I've heard is that it just doesn't work, the restricting. Cause it's almost like you're putting pressure on like a fence or a gate or something. And then it just like, or a dam. And then it just, you know,
And you actually tend to eat more in those situations because you've had that restriction. It's like a rubber band, like snapping back, but then going kind of the opposite direction, like the pendulum swings. And, then again, you're not kind of focusing on what your body needed. You're focusing on kind of, you know, compensating or overcompensating for what it lost. And it, it's not a great strategy.
Yeah.
Now intuitive eating, it's different than a diet. It is not something that tells you how much to eat, when to eat, what types of things to eat. It is really a system about using your intuition for your own body. Mm-hmm. And, this is kind of a definition of intuitive eating. Intuitive eating is a self-care eating framework, which integrates instinct, emotion, and rational thought and was created by two dietitians, Evelyn Tribble and Elise Resch, in 1995. Intuitive eating is a weight-inclusive, evidence-based model with validated assessment scale for over 100 studies to date. So it's really a framework that you use where you check in with your intuition. And I'm going to read to you the 10 principles of intuitive eating. Mm-hmm. But even before I get into that, I talk about this a lot, whether it's inside Intuition Mastery, which I do have a model. I do have a module about intuitive eating, whether I talk about it on the podcast or on social media. You have the intuition, you have the ego. The ego is that fear, that scarcity voice inside of you. And intuition is that calm, cool clarity of knowing from your wise subconscious mind. And when you're eating, when you're about to eat, it's so important to listen to what your intuition is saying, because it has so much more wisdom and data. It knows your body so well versus when you are eating based on fear, restriction, scarcity, you're going to not be paying as much attention to what your body needs and more attention to what you think it needs based on what society is telling you. So whether that's eating more, eating less, but it comes from a place of fear versus intuition, where it's very calm, cool, clear, and very precise in what your body needs. So there's 10 principles to the intuitive eating framework. First principle is reject the diet mentality. So again, diet here is not just diet for like whatever you eat. It's like restrictive diet. They often call it in intuitive eating circles, diet culture, you know, similar to like if you've heard of culture or purity culture, because it really is a whole thing that our society has bought into, but rejecting that mentality.
And just to chime in, that it, rejecting like all aspects of it, like including, because a big part of diet culture is like commenting on people's weight. Like, why do people think that's okay? Because of diet culture, you know, like people, like even saying like, oh, you look like you've lost weight. Like, you know, that's not okay to comment on people's bodies, but it's like almost, and I think we're moving away from it, but for so long, it was like the norm. It was like accepted to be able to like comment on someone's body. Or even just thinking about like calories, like, look, I know people who, I mean, they talk about calories like a third of the day. I mean, my God, it's so frustrating. Cause I'm like, can we talk about something else, or like going to a restaurant and can I see the calorie menu? Like, and I understand maybe some people have like health problems and this is what their doctor has advised them. So I'm not, you know, saying if you have a medical condition or something like that, that you're wrong for this, but like these people that I'm talking about don't, and they, and it's just, it's not even like fun to be around. And so I feel like it's not just the, okay, rejecting it in terms of I am not going to like participate in it by like I'm not going to have a do a diet, not going to you know, participate in a diet. It's also rejecting the thoughts and the, you know, oh, let me comment and tell them they look so good, they look like they've really lost a lot of weight. It's like, you know, and I use that as an example because people think that's like a nice thing to say, but most people don't. No, it's not. It's not. And most people don't want to hear that. So,
No, that's a really good point, because I think we've somewhat evolved in society to where a lot of people will not say, you've gained weight, you look bad. There are definitely people that say that 100%. I'm not denying that, but a lot of people will be like, well, I'm okay because I'm not telling them they look bad when they have more weight on their body, but they will feel comfortable saying you look good because you lost weight, when innately, when you're saying that, it means that you looked bad before.
So
saying it in a more, it's like a backhanded compliment, and bodies are so personal. It should be between, you know, the individual and their doctor. And, you know, you don't know what somebody did to lose that weight. And if it is because of an illness they've developed or something in their life, you don't know what caused them to gain weight. And it's not your business unless they want to openly share that. And I think that it's just rude to talk about people's weight. It's just rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make anyone feel like if you do comment on people's weight, like we're bashing you. We're not bashing you. We're bashing this whole idea. And that, you know, I don't blame people because we've been socialized to like, mm-hmm. think that's a nice thing to say to someone, but it's not. We're just telling you right now that it's not nice, and try to let it go because most people don't appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So principle number one is reject diet mentality. Principle number two is honor your hunger. And I think this is so important. This has so much to do with your intuition. When you're hungry, when you feel those hunger signals in your body, it's because you need to eat. There's nothing morally superior about you suppressing your hunger and ignoring it. And mm-hmm. I used to believe that as a kid, that, you know, that the more hungry I was, the better I was behaving because I was, you know, rejecting my hunger. But your hunger is your body's response. It's put there to remind you that you need more nutrients. That is why it's there and it should be honored. Number three is make peace with food. And I love this one because it's really all about realizing that we oftentimes put food in good or bad categories, and food's just mm-hmm. not like that. Now, I think there's a debate, you know, worth being had about ethically sourced food, those types of things. You know, if it's hurting an animal, I think those debates can be had, but outside of that, like a lot of times people will label a chocolate cake as bad food. It's not bad food. It's just food. And, you know, there are certain situations where if you haven't eaten all day, and you have to go into a meeting and all that's available is that chocolate cake, girl, eat the chocolate cake. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to get you.
And enjoy it.
Yeah. Enjoy it. And so there's really not, these morality around food, and we often mm-hmm. place it there and call it good or bad food, but it's important to make peace with it and just realize these are choices and options. And, you know, maybe there are different timings. We want to eat different things based on how our body feels and what it's asking for, but just kind of removing those moralistic lines of what is good or bad food. Number four is challenge the food police. Now this one can be a tricky one because there will be people who will tell you, you need to eat more, or you shouldn't be eating that, or X, Y, or Z. And they'll tell other people that in your presence. Mm-hmm. And they have bought into diet culture. And I really believe that in a lot of cases, we need to stand up to them and say, hey, mm-hmm. my body, my choice, their body, their choice. That's not your business. That's between them and their doctor. And standing up not only for ourselves, but for other people, and just letting people know that you have a boundary there, that you decide what you put in your mouth, what you put in your body, not them. Yeah. And that can be hard. And I've done that sometimes and people don't like it, but they never like when you put up boundaries, but you have a right to choose what food you put in your body, not anybody else. Principle number five is respect your fullness. So just like you respect your hunger that you need to eat something, it's important to listen to your body when it says I'm full and not to force feed it extra food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're never going to be perfect at this. Intuitive eating is a framework. It has principles. It doesn't mean that you are a bad person if you eat a lot of Thanksgiving dinner. That's mm-hmm. not what it's saying. But generally speaking, it is important not only to listen when you're hungry, but also to pay attention to the signs and signals your body is giving you when you're full, because mm-hmm. those are just as important as your hunger signals. It knows how much you need to eat. And it's always given you signs. Number six is discover the satisfaction factor. So a lot of times when we eat mindlessly. We don't think about what we are putting in our bodies, and we're just eating because, you know, we're feeling emotional and we just want to stuff in your mouth. Instead, slow down, enjoy the food, you know, see how it makes you feel. And if it's satisfying, you know, there are times when I want to eat a salad and that feels good, but there are other times I know the salad is not going to satisfy me. I need to eat, you know, some some bread, something, you know, a little bit heavier. And so paying attention to the satisfaction factor and really slowing down to enjoy your food. And, you know, it's kind of flows into the next one, which is number 7, honor your feelings without using food.
Well, can I just say before we move on from that one, that reminds me, like, I like that it says that to like, just enjoy the food. Mm-hmm. Cause I think sometimes we can just like, I could just like shove certain, especially certain food into my mouth and I like not even taste it, you know? And, we did this like tour or something of the like Hershey Park, like chocolate factories and stuff. And one of the things is like, was a chocolate tasting event. And we like had these different chocolates and they had us do like, okay, take this chocolate, put it in the back of your mouth and like, just let it melt. And then you could taste all these things that you weren't tasting when you just like eat a bunch of M&Ms, you know? And so it kind of reminds me of that. And so sometimes, like when I'm like really slowing down and like, you know, taking it bite by bite, I'm like really tasting things that it's like coming through for me that like wouldn't when I just like shovel it in my mouth. So I love that. I didn't realize that was a part of intuitive eating. And I love that step.
Yeah, no, 100%. And oftentimes we eat faster than our body's able to process the food. So when we slow down and eat it, we can pay attention to when our body says that it's full versus if we just keep eating. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, I just overate so much and I feel uncomfortable. My stomach doesn't feel good anymore. Versus if you kind of slow down and then, you know, wait and say, okay, do I feel, you know, like I still want to eat or not? And just slowing it down. And again, this is a framework. This isn't a perfection thing because I'm going to tell you, if I've got 5 minutes before a meeting and I need to eat something, I'm going to shovel that sandwich down, you know, because I know I'm going to
eat that food. Yes. I always do that. I'm like handful, like, this is making me hungry.
I know. So it's not about perfection, but it is about, you know, discovering that satisfaction factor and, you know, slowing it down so you can really enjoy your food versus kind of inhaling it and not enjoying it at all. And then number 7 is honor your feelings without using food. And I think a lot of times when we feel stressed, when we feel anxious, when we feel a variety of things, many times we will go to food for comfort. That's why they call it comfort food. And that's not always bad on the list of things you could do to cope with stress. You know, it's on the lower end of the spectrum. You know, you're not taking hard drugs or something like that. But realize that it is sort of a band-aid to dealing with the emotions that are coming up. And it's important to actually deal with those emotions instead of numbing it with food. And, you know, my body's craving comfort. You know, what are some other ways I could give it comfort that aren't just food? And just really paying attention to that, because sometimes we don't slow down enough to realize that my body just wants comfort. And you know what? Maybe some tea, a warm blanket, and a book would feel like comfort, and I wouldn't need to eat. And that's just kind of numbing it, or a therapy session, or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So just being mindful of it. Again, it's not about perfection, but, you know, just honoring your feelings without using food all the time. Number 8 is respect your body. Our bodies are beautiful. They're amazing. And so many times we're trying to escape our body. I know I can be guilty of that. Like, I love learning about things like astral travel and visualization meditations and just thinking about these high, lofty thoughts, but remembering that my body is the vessel that allows me to have experiences. My body is here to take care of me. It's been with me my entire life. And even when I wish it had done better in some situations, I really know it's always doing the best that it can given the tools it has. And so really just respecting your body and not shaming it or blaming it, realizing that it shows up for you every day. And, even if there's health problems, like, it's doing the best it can with the cards it's been dealt. And so honoring and respecting it.
And I think a good exercise for that would be, I wrote like a poem about my body, and it was hard for me to write, 'cause it was like, I have these, you know, with having health anxiety, it it's hard sometimes to reflect on how good my body is because I'm usually in a fight with my body. And so I decided to write all of like my favorite memories and like incorporate different parts of my body into those, like, okay, you know, and so that can help. I think if you're stuck and you feel like you're fighting with your body a lot, to like really sit down and reflect, okay, like what's something like one of my favorite memories with my hands or with my, like, you know, I say like, you know, my toes feeling the ocean water or like my hand holding Nate's, or, you know, just think of, it doesn't have to be some kind of like big event, but just things that you appreciate and you love and make you feel warm. I think that can be a good way to go about it. If you feel like, I don't really want to respect my body, or I have trouble respecting my body, I feel like, you know, writing it out and in terms of memories, it can be, at least for me, it was really helpful.
Yeah, no, I thought that poem was brilliant. And I hope that you share it on the Serendipity page or this episode, because it was beautiful. And I think sometimes when we think of our bodies as a whole, it feels overwhelming, but you really broke it down into gratitude for each individual part. And I just thought that was really impactful. Yeah. It was moving.
I'm glad. I'll share it on the Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 9 is exercise, feel the difference. So I think a lot of times in diet culture, exercise is one of those things where, again, it's always with this focus of weight loss. It's always with this focus of punishing yourself for eating. It's always with this focus of, well, I had that cake, so I need to burn it off. Exercise really just makes your body feel good. And I personally don't like the word exercise because I have a lot of triggers around that word. So I like to replace it with movement. And so dance, I like to dance. I like to stretch. I like to, you know, just move in ways that feel good. And again, paying attention to what your body's asking for. And if it's asking for, I know you like to go on a run, go on that run. If it's asking for some deep yoga poses and stretches, if it's asking for you to dance it out, to process emotions, you know, it doesn't always have to look like the gym, though it can, and some bodies crave that. But again, just paying attention there. And then number 10 is honor your health with gentle nutrition. And I think so many times, again, with the diet culture, this idea that we have to have such rigid nutrition, that always have to eat X, Y, or Z. And sometimes that's not what your body needs in the moment. You know, you could eat a salad, yes, but sometimes your body is like, I really need just a baked potato, something that has a bit more substance to it, or mac and cheese would really feel good right now, or I need some protein. So maybe some beans would help me feel more energy today. But really paying attention and honoring your health, not just your physical health, but also your mental health, and doing it gently, not harshly, not, you know, sticking yourself into these boxes. And it takes work, and I am not perfect at this, but what I can say is that it has changed my relationship with food. It has changed my relationship with my body. I'm a lot kinder to myself, and I will ask myself before I go into the refrigerator, and I'll be like, what do I want to eat? And instead of just grabbing the first thing there, paying attention to what my body's craving. Does it need some, you know, something warm? Does it need something dense? Does it need, you know, some more protein? Do I need a little sugar kick, you know, and get some fruit, whatever it is? But just paying a lot closer attention, and then also deciphering, because sometimes I think that I'm craving something because that's the first thing that comes to my mind. And I realize, okay, I'm not actually craving that. I'm craving this particular feeling, and there's some other food options that would give me that feeling that aren't going to afterwards make me feel sick to my stomach. And so just having that dialogue, starting it. And just paying attention to the changes. Again, I love this because it's not strict. It's not a you're bad or good. It's a framework and it's a work in process. It's a relationship with your body. And that's what I know about intuitive eating. That's what I try to do.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I feel like it really gets to the core of what you have to do, or what maybe a lot of people have to do, being kind of immersed in diet culture the way that we are. Mm-hmm. You can't have one thing without the other. So, you know, the 10 steps, those are all really important. It's not just like, okay, well, I'm just going to cancel diet culture out of my mind or whatever, or, you know, reject diet culture. Okay. You have to also have the step of respecting your body, you know, because you're not going to be able to reject diet culture if you don't respect your body, or, listening to your hunger versus listening to your fullness. Like, you need both of those. You need all of that. And so, I think it's really helpful to have all of those things, because it really breaks it down in a way that's easy to understand. And also, I feel like it's a very holistic approach to, we're not going to just like put a Band-Aid. It really is like, we're going to get to the root of the problem here, with dieting, with how our brains kind of have been processed to think about food and our bodies and, you know, whatever it may be. So I think that's really valuable. And thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's super helpful.
And one thing that comes to my mind with this is, though I think that most diets are unethical, that doesn't mean that I think every person who has participated in a diet is an unethical person.
Right.
I think a lot of us have been sold a lie, and we're just trying to do the best that we can. So if you come from a dieting background, I'm not trying to shame you for that. Now, I do think that there are some people at the top of diet culture that know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They know that they're putting people on a hamster wheel, that they will never get to achieve what they want to achieve. And I think they guilt and shame people a lot of times. And those people, I think, sometimes are very unethical. But I think the general population, even people who maybe, you know, are promoting a particular diet, doesn't necessarily mean that they as a person are unethical. This is just the only information they've been given. Right. And you really have to search to find, you know, information about intuitive eating. So this isn't intended to shame. This is more intended to educate and to share what's worked for me. And just being totally honest, like, there are days when I struggle with my body image quite strongly. There are days when I struggle with my relationship with food that hasn't been completely relieved. But what I do know is that when I restrict, it makes it worse. When I listen to my body, it allows those waves to pass more calmly. I just wanted to say that, not trying to shame anybody for it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think when we have any kind of conversations like this, we're never trying to shame anyone. I think both of us, and I think it's good that you said that, because I think we're kind of looking at the big like societal picture. Yeah. And so when we like are maybe like criticizing things, we're criticizing the thing. We're not criticizing people who participate in the thing just because this is how you were socialized or how you were raised or impacted by the thing. So I think that was good that you clarified that, because we never want to shame anyone or make anyone feel like we are like, you know, pointing
a finger. Now there are a few people at the top, you know who you are, but if you're listening to this podcast, I don't think you're them.
You're probably not. Yeah. But, thanks so much for sharing that. That was such a good discussion and so much helpful information. I don't think I have a serendipitous story this week, but do you have one?
I do. Okay. So this is really fun. So I was following a designer on Instagram who I really like their artwork and graphic design. And they started posting about this Oracle card deck that was just really beautiful that they had created and designed. It wasn't their deck, but they, you know, made the designs for somebody else who had kind of had vision and all that. And I got this intuitive nudge that I needed to purchase that deck of cards, those Oracle cards. And it was kind of crazy the way it happened. So I couldn't find the button to get the cards, to order them. But I was able to find sort of a place where you could download the guidebook. You know how Oracle cards often have like a little guidebook of what each card means. And you could download that for free. And I was like, but I really want to purchase the cards and I don't see that. So I downloaded that guidebook. And I think it was probably because they were still working out links and stuff on their website. But they sent me an email probably about 30 minutes later. And they're like, hey, I hope you enjoyed the guidebook. You know, where did you purchase your deck? And I was like, well, actually I didn't purchase the deck and I've been looking for that. And I thought maybe when I click this download, that would give me more information. And so they sent me the direct link and I purchased the deck. And then they messaged me back and they were like, hey, I've been checking out your webpage through, you know, the links that you have in your email. And I'd like you to come speak at one of my virtual events. And I never met this person. I didn't even follow them on Instagram. This is literally, I just wanted that deck of cards. But because I listened to my intuition about that, I'm guess going to be speaking at one of their, you know, online summits. And we were able to make a good connection. And we spoke on the phone the following week. And I learned more about them and their work. And we have a lot in common. And she invited me to come visit her in California sometime. And so anyway, it was just... I thought really serendipitous. I came into this wanting to get a card deck and I came out of it, you know, with a speaking gig. So,
yeah, that's so serendipitous. One, that your intuition told you to get the cards. And then two, that you couldn't find the link. So you had to download it, which sent them an email, which made them email you. And then they saw your links. They would have never, ever seen your links if you would have just added it to your cart and purchased it, you know? That's so serendipitous. That is so cool. I love that. Oh my gosh.
And they seem like a really cool person. And if anybody's curious, it was the Breath of Gold card deck. And I did just get it in the mail the other day and it's really beautiful.
Oh, I can't wait to see pictures.
To use it. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so great. Well, if you have any serendipitous stories, any happy stories, magical stories, ghost stories, aliens. I mean, if you want to tell a story about intuitive eating, I mean, anything, we want to hear it. You can email us at pod.serendipity@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram at serendipity.pod. You can also use the voice memo tool if you want to record yourself and we may share it on the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review. We love, love, love hearing from you. Like literally when we get a review that comes in, Charlie usually sees it first and she's always like, Ashley, look, we got another review. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And you know, we just like have little celebrations whenever we get a review. And so like, if we've made your day, we'd love for you to help make our day. Like it's just like this reciprocal energy. And you can do that by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. But before you hit submit on that review, take a screenshot and then send it to us on Instagram or send it to our email at pod.serendipity@gmail.com. And as a thank you, we'll give you a free gift, which is some beautiful custom art, gorgeous butterflies. It's actually print quality, so you can hang it up on your wall, or we have it formatted to particular sizes so you can put it on like the background of your electronic devices. But yeah, would love to receive a review, and literally it really brightens our day. And I'm not just saying that when we get those.
No, reviews. It really does. Yeah. It's really exciting when that happens. And we usually will share the review on our Instagram too. Yes. Yes. But yes. Okay. Well, this was so fun. Make sure you come back next week. We have a serendipity story from a listener and it's a really good one. So you don't want to miss it.